Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Good morning, everyone. So great to see you all here today. My name is John, and it's a privilege to be your speaker here today as we are in the middle of our fantastic series, Be Rich. And just like Michaela has already explained, Be Rich is an amazing kind of campaign that we do every year to mobilize the local church, which is you, which is me, to extraordinary generosity and selfless service. What this means is that we kind of get together a few partners in our organization who are doing a really fantastic job in their special niches and their fields, and we kind of come alongside them and we support them and we give to them and we serve with them so that they can kind of even do more work and even better work with the area and the fields that they have been, entrusted with. So that's what this series is all about. And just like Michaela mentioned, we have three partners this year. We have Fusion, we have Pregnancy Problem House, and we have The Crew. So these are some fantastic organizations. And if you have questions about anything they're doing, I would love for you to go and chat to the Be Rich team out in the foyer. They can just tell you all about it and kind of all that they're doing. But last week, Mike preached a fantastic message on the give side of Be Rich. So give is three parts: give, serve, and love. And last week, Mike did a fantastic job on what it means to be rich, actually. So he redefined what it means to be rich. And oftentimes in this world, we think of financial status, but actually we redefined what it means. And it kind of comes from 1 Timothy that says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share, to give, to serve, and to love in essence. And so today I have the privilege of talking about serve. But before I get into that, I want to let you know that last week, I want to update you on some of the things that we did last week. So if you were here, you would know. But last week we did Give Week, and part of the call to action of Give Week was 150-100. So what we asked is 100% participation. Every single person who is here or tuning in online, we asked you to participate. And we said, we want everyone to give $50 per person. And our promise to you was that we would give 100% of it away. So that's what we did last week. And throughout this entire week, people have been giving, you have been giving, you've been so, so generous. And I'm excited to reveal what the number is. And so can I get everyone to like pat their hands quickly, and we'll get like a bit of a drum roll going. All right, the number that you gave this week for Be Rich is $40,258.46. That is insane. Come on, give yourself a hand. And just like we promised, every single dollar of that is going towards our Be Rich partners, going to Fusion, going to Pregnancy Problem House, going to The Crew. So come on, that is absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for your generosity. It's actually going to make such a big difference. It's actually going to make such a huge impact for the lives of many people in this community. So just turn to your neighbor and say, thank you, Be Rich. And what I love about this series is that it's a very practical series. So there's three very easy steps that we take every single week to give, to serve, and to love. And like I mentioned, today I have the privilege of talking about serving. But before we get into that, I just love to pray for us all this morning. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much, Lord, for the generosity of this church. I am blown away, Father, by how people just rallied around this cause, rallied around this campaign to unleash a wave of generosity. So thank you, Lord, for just the beginning. What an amazing start to this campaign. Lord, I pray for today's message, Lord, that it will just land in people's hearts, God, that any kind of walls that were brought in here today, that you will just tear those down and your word will speak truth into every single person's situation. Amen. Amen. Awesome. So today I want to look into a very probably familiar passage. And you probably, if you've ever been in kind of a church circle before, you would be quite familiar with this passage. But I kind of want to take a bit of a different angle and kind of look at some of the things that maybe you haven't seen before. So if you would join me, it's coming from John 13, verse 2. And it's a story of when Jesus washes the feet of his disciples. And it goes something like this in verse 2. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around them. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" You know, there's so much power in these verses, and I'm going to do my best to kind of unlock some of these things that are coming up. But the first thing I want to kind of point out comes from verse 3, and it says, Jesus knew. Say knew to the person next to you. Jesus knew. What did Jesus know? Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. You know, so often we kind of skip past these verses because we just want to see the part where he washes the disciples' feet. But we have to take a moment to grasp the immensity of these words, that Jesus knew full well who he was. He was the Son of God. He was the hope of the world. He was Emmanuel, God with us. He knew exactly who he was, where he was from, and where he was going. And yet, still with this kind of massive identity that he carries, he still chose to wash the disciples' feet. And that's something massive that we shouldn't take lightly. He completely redefines what it means to serve. And so one of the main things that I kind of want to take up from this is actually the humility that it takes. The humility, the example of humility that Jesus carried through this time where he came down as a man to serve and to wash, literally wash the feet of his disciples. So humility, I love this definition that we've said a few times around here at The Rocks. It's humility is not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less. It's not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. And this is a really great definition. I absolutely love it. But for the sake of today, I kind of want to take a slightly different approach to the definition of humility and kind of get it to a point where we're not just talking about how it's the opposite of pride, but I want to kind of dig into a bit more of what humility is. And so for that reason, I want to use this definition that Danielle Strickland comes up with that says, humility is when we agree with God about who we are. It's about agreeing with God about who we are. And the beautiful thing is that when we can come into a place of true humility, when we can come into a place where we are in agreement with God about who we are, that's when we become free to serve. We become free to do what we were actually created and born to do. But the thing is, this is so much more often easier said than done. You know, for a lot of us, insecurity can kind of creep in and can kind of get the better of us from time to time. And insecurity actually says that, you know, you're not quite in agreement with who God says you are. You know, insecurity looks like a few things. It looks like pleasing. It looks like needing. It looks like manipulating. The thing is, we can love others and we can actually serve others. But oftentimes when we're doing that from a place of insecurity, that serving will look like these three things. It will look like pleasing. It will look like needing others and needing yourself to be a certain way. It will look like manipulating the people around you. And I just want to make it super clear that we can continue to serve in this space. And sometimes God still has the power to use us and to use us when we are in a place of insecurity, but it's not the way that God had designed it. And then the other extreme of it is when we serve from a place of arrogance. Arrogance, in other words, kind of the idea that we do it from our own strength. We do it from our own skills and our own abilities. We kind of do it all on our own. And when we do it, when we serve and when we love others from a place of arrogance, oftentimes it looks like we need to prove something, or we're using people, or we're trying to control our situation, or we're trying to control the people around us. And that's the temptation. But what we need to do is come into this place of true humility, into a place where we can really agree with God about who we are as his followers, as his people. Because when we end up in a place of true humility, we end up serving. We end up in a place where we can serve. And instead of pleasing or trying to prove something, or instead of needing ourselves or the people around us to be a certain way, instead of using our people around us, instead of manipulating, controlling the people around us, we can actually just come into a place of serving. And that's so liberating for us. Now, what I want us to realize is that the life of Jesus is actually an exemplification, a personification of who the person of God is. And actually, Jesus came down as an example to show us and lead us to God. The thing is, God's not insecure. He's not arrogant. He's not pleasing. He actually doesn't need us. He doesn't manipulate us. He doesn't control us. He doesn't use us. He doesn't need to prove anything to us. He isn't trying to control you. He's simply serving you. And the reason why he's serving you is because he wants you to know who you are. Jesus serves from a place of love, not for love, so that we know we are loved. Jesus serves from love, not for love, so that we know we are loved. Isn't that insane? Isn't that incredible that Jesus serves from a place of love? How different, how much of a shift is that for some of us? Here's another one. Jesus serves from worth, not for worth, so we know we have worth. Jesus serves from a place of worth, not for worth, so that we know we are worth, we have worth. And the last one, Jesus serves with purpose, not just for purpose, but so that we know we have purpose. And that's Jesus. That is what he's doing in these situations. This is so essential for us to figure out, because one of the things that I've realized over time, especially as someone who's spent the majority of my working life actually also serving, so one of the things that I've noticed is that even if I'm serving from a place of obligation, or if I'm serving from a place of arrogance or insecurity or whatever it is, what I've realized is that over time, in order to get true humility, in order to be in a place of true humility, agreeing with God about who I am, I oftentimes have to allow Jesus to serve me. I have to allow Jesus to serve me. And this is where in the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet that Peter also kind of gets tripped up a little bit. If we continue reading, this is how the story goes. It says this, "After that, he, who's Jesus, poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, are you going to wash my feet?' Jesus replied, 'You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand.' 'No,' said Peter, 'you shall never wash my feet.' Jesus answered, 'Unless I wash you, you have no part with me.'" You know, how many of us here today can see ourselves in the shoes of Peter? How many of us can identify with what Peter is saying? Like, can you just imagine for a moment that Jesus, the Son of God, was like, "I'm going to wash your feet, John," and I would be like, "Are you kidding me? Like, no chance! Like, I want to wash your feet. Like, are you joking?" And Jesus, like, before Peter can even say no, he's like, "You don't even understand what I'm going to be doing. You don't even understand what I'm doing. But I need to do this so that you have part with me, so you can be a part of what I'm doing." And that's so much power in that. He wants Peter to discover who Jesus thinks he is, not what Peter's thoughts of who he is. Jesus wants Peter to understand that he believes Peter has worth, that he is loved, and that he has purpose. And the only way to get to a place of true humility in our lives is to allow Jesus to serve us. And I don't know if that's you this morning, but I imagine if it's me, it's probably someone else here today. But we need to allow Jesus to serve us. We need to allow him to wash our feet. We need to allow ourselves to be served in order for us to discover who we are, in order for us to discover who we're meant to be. Because when we do come to a place, when we do come to a place of true humility, actually something shifts. Something in our mind, something in our heart, something in our actions completely shift. And we come from this. We come from, if they are worthy of my service, and we completely change to God, whom I ultimately serving is worthy. It shifts from a place of like, you know, I will serve only the people who I think are worth my time, to actually, I know that God, the person who actually at the end of the day I am serving, is worthy of all my service. So I'm going to serve regardless of what opportunity is presented in front of me. We make this shift as well. We shift from if it works to serving is the work. We shift from this idea of like, well, I might serve you if it kind of fits in my schedule, like if it's kind of good for me. But actually, no, we realize that the mindset shift is that serving is the work, and that's the privilege. And we make our lives around these serving opportunities. We make the shift from if they are thankful to I am thankful I can serve. And this is a massive one. You know, how many times do we serve others and we get upset because they don't thank us, or they don't seem appreciative or thankful? But actually, when we come into a place of pure humility, of true humility, we're not insecure about whether or not they're thankful or not. But I can be thankful that I can serve, that God has chosen me to be the hands and the feet of Jesus and to serve the community, to serve the people around me. We also make the shift from if they get it. Like, oftentimes we're serving and we're like, if only they got it, I would only serve if I knew they could understand what I was talking about. We make the shift from that to I get it when I serve. Like, I get that God is actually doing a work inside of me when I get to serve. When I have the privilege of being in the place where God is using me, I get something out of it. And that's massive. And that's a reason why we should serve. Lastly, we move from if they change, we move to a place of I am changed through serving. The thing is, it becomes less dependent on other people, but it just becomes about you and your relationship with Jesus. You know, I was doing some research and I came across this guy. His name is Henry Nguyen. And for those who don't know him, he's a very quite famous theologian. And he was a professor at Notre Dame, and he was a professor at Yale as well in theology. And he was getting lots of awards, and he was winning lots of amazing kind of things. He was writing articles, and he was quite famous in the theology world. And all of a sudden, one day, he made this shift. He decided that all of a sudden, he's going to go, and he's going to work for a new company. And it was a company by the guy name of Jean Vanier. And Jean Vanier owned a company that was called L'Arche Community, which was basically helping adults, people who are dealing with disabilities, and it was very hands-on. So like, this was a massive shift. Like, this really big famous guy, Henry, was like really out in the public and had high fancy jobs, and he kind of made this giant shift to kind of being on the very front lines of service and very not glamorous in that sense. And so there was a bunch of kind of follow-up articles, and people were asking Henry, like, why did you make that change? Like, what happened in your life for you to want to make this kind of shift in your situation? And Henry's story is absolutely amazing. He said, you know, this guy, Jean Vanier, I actually didn't know who he was. I didn't know the man. He was just kind of some stranger at the point. But Jean Vanier told me that one day he just felt the burden to pray for Henry. He said, Jean Vanier said, hey, I just wanted to pray, and I didn't know what was going to happen, but I prayed. And he felt like he wanted to deliver a message to Henry. So what Jean Vanier did is that he sent his good friend Sue, and Sue to deliver the message. And so Sue went to Henry's door, literally knocked on the door, and he was like, Henry was like, cool, like, hey, how's it going? And he's like, oh, like, Sue was like, I have a message for you on behalf of Jean Vanier. Do you have a moment? And Henry's like, oh, like, I'm really busy. Like, I have to go to work. I have to do all these things right now. Like, I'm really important, you know, have all these things to do in my life. He didn't probably say that, but that was kind of what the message was. And Sue was like, cool, yep, no problem. I'll just wait here until you come back, if that's cool. And Henry was like, yeah, no worries, we'll see you in a bit. So Henry went off, did his work, did his busy work, did his business, and came back a few hours later. And when he came back, Sue had prepared the table for him, had prepared a meal, had prepared a really nice dinner for him. And so she's like, come on in, Henry. I'm sure you're hungry. I'm sure you're famished. If you had a long day, come and enjoy a meal. I'd love for you to sit down. And so Henry did that. He sat down, he was eating, and as you can probably imagine, Henry, the entire meal, was thinking to himself, like, what does this woman want? Like, what does she want from me? Like, does she want money? Does she want, like, me to write an article for them? Do they want an endorsement? Like, what? Like, why is this person in my house? Like, I need to know why. And then the conversation kind of continued, and then Sue got up from the meal and then washed the dishes and put all the food away. And then all of a sudden, she's like, thanks, yep, that's it. I'm going to head home now. I had a great evening, thanks. And then Henry's like, no, like, wait a second. Like, you told me that you came here to deliver a message for me from Jean Vanier. Like, what's the message? And Sue looks at Henry and says, I've delivered it. I've served it. I love you. And then left. And you have to understand that Henry was shook by this. He was shaken by the selfless, no strings attached serving that Sue came in on behalf of Jean Vanier to do for him. And he said when he was able to come to a place of allowing himself to be served, when he came to a place of understanding that actually serving sometimes looks like no strings attached, that his total mindset shifted, that he changed, and he realized actually that being in the big theology professor wasn't actually where he was meant to be. He was meant to be in a place where he could outlive his serving, his calling, in a different way. And that's the power of serving. That's the power of serving. He described it as he became the beloved of God. He described it by saying, I understand my worth, I understand my value through this lady serving me. It freed him to be the person that he was always created to be. Before I finish up, I have a couple more things I want to kind of point out in this amazing story of John 13. So I'm going to continue reading. It says this. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. This is talking about Jesus. Now, these words took off are super important. These words that I've highlighted on the screen behind me, the words took off, they're so, so key for us in understanding what's going around in this passage. You know, it's actually a reference from Philippians in chapter 2, and it's talking about how Jesus didn't consider it a necessity to hold on to things like heaven for him to come down into the earth and to serve us. Like, Jesus didn't feel like he had to hold on to the things. He took off a lot of things. He became man. He took off his glory so that he could come down and serve and be amongst us on this earth. And that's kind of the reference that it's talking about. But now specifically in this passage in John 13, when he's taking off his outer clothing, it actually would have been a rabbinical kind of cloak. It would have been like a jacket kind of that he was wearing. And it was often, probably would have been like a symbol of his authority, a symbol of kind of who Jesus was. If you're familiar with the story of when that woman who was really sick just touched his cloak and became healed instantly, that would have been the same cloak that we're talking about in this situation. You know, people would have looked to him and recognized that jacket that he was wearing and been like, oh, that's Jesus. That's the rabbi. That's teacher. But the thing is, Jesus decided to take off his outer cloak, to take out his outer clothing, take off his rabbinical cloak. And the reason for that is because it was getting in the way. It was getting in the way of him being able to serve the disciples without them looking to the things, but looking to Jesus himself as a person and the power and the service that he was providing. Jesus' purpose is not just to be a teacher. His purpose isn't just to put things on. His purpose is also to take off the things that are in between us from truly encountering the service and the love of Jesus. Because he knows when he's able to serve you, when he's able to serve you, you will truly understand who you were meant to become. You will understand fully the calling and the nature of why you were brought onto this earth, what you were created to do. You know, there's a movie in 2014. You may be familiar with it. It's called Hercules, and it's not the animation one. It's the one with Dwayne Johnson. If anybody could be Hercules, it's probably Dwayne Johnson. And he, in this movie, it's actually all about how he really isn't a God man. He really isn't. It's just like this whole ruse that he kind of fabricated, because basically, if he was a mercenary for hire, he could get more work through if people thought that he could take on these giant battles on his own and become victorious. But actually, part of his kind of his ruse was that he had this secret army that would kind of come in stage right, battle everyone and kind of defeat the enemy. And then before it was done, like right before the end, would exit stage left. And then Hercules would be standing there with his sword and everyone like, yeah, Hercules, you're amazing. How did you do that by yourself? And he's like, yeah, I'm pretty amazing. But then there's a scene in this movie. And there's a point in where he's in this battle and he actually ends up getting a cut on his shoulder. He actually ends up bleeding on his shoulder, and the kind of the captain of his army notices that. And so he kind of dashes through the battle lines. He dashes through to the front and he takes off his cloak. He takes off his robe and he gives it to Hercules and he wraps it on his shoulder and says, Hercules, don't let them see you bleed. And I have just this amazing picture of the difference between Hercules and Jesus. On one end, we have Hercules who's putting things on to hide the fact that he's bleeding. But then on this other side of the picture, we have Jesus who's bleeding and crucified on a cross for our sins. And I really felt like God is talking to us here this morning and saying, actually, we have to pick one of these two roads. We either pick the road that Hercules is going down, or we pick the road that Jesus has gone down. But we can't do both. We can't choose both roads. We have to choose whether or not we want to continuously seek the high road, seek hierarchy, continue to put things on to hide who we truly are, or we can be Jesus. And we can pursue serving like Jesus by taking things off and revealing our true humility of who we are. And that's a decision for every single one of us here today. And Jesus led the example in every single way. Jesus took off glory for humanity. He took off heaven for a body. He took off authority to become a servant. He took off safety for suffering. He took off success for humility. And he took off comfort for obedience. Jesus took off his rabbinical robe, his authority, his symbol of power, to take up a servant's towel. But my question to all of us here today is, what are you willing to take off? What things in your life are you willing to take off so that you can come into a place of true humility and service for Jesus? Maybe for you, it's time. Maybe you need to take off time. And maybe you're saying to yourself, John, anything but time. You know, I have no time left. Maybe Jesus is saying in this moment, you need to take off some time so that you can spend time serving, so that you can do some serving and do what I've called you to do. Maybe for yourself, it's taking off prejudice or taking off that kind of pros and cons list of, you know, is it worth my energy and my skills and my investment to serve? And just decide to put on the fact that, hey, I know that God has called me into something more and God has given me an opportunity to serve. And it's time for me, regardless of whether I feel it's worthy or not, that I get to change people's lives and I get to be changed through serving. In John chapter 13, verse 15, at the very end, it says this, "I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you." It doesn't get any more simple than this. Jesus gives the perfect example of what it means to serve. And what he says is, "Do as I have done to you." And today we have the opportunity to just do that. We have an opportunity to do just that, where we get to partner with our amazing Be Rich organizations who are doing fantastic work, but we have a chance to actually serve alongside of them in a really practical way. But before I get down to the nitty-gritty of that, I want to showcase one of our partners who's The Crew, who helps homeless people who are struggling and going through a tough time. And they are simply doing amazing things in their kind of space, in their sphere. And we have a quick kind of video of some of the volunteers and some of the guests actually who are staying in their services, and just some of the way that they have truly embodied what it means to take things off, to take off their comforts, to take off their preferences, in order to serve something much greater than themselves. So let's watch this together.
At The Crew, one thing that we're really passionate about is instilling value and being intentional about building up relationships with our guests so that they know that we see them as people. And so I love that opportunity that we have to actually have relationship with our guests. And so it's not like we don't know the people coming through our door. We actually have great relationship and we have inside jokes with our guests. And it's awesome because we're run by a church. Is that at the cornerstone of everything is Jesus. And getting to be able to share of the hope that we experience and know to the guests that are accessing our services.
Crew has been everything to me. I've came from the streets to a place of residence now, 3 years. These guys have fed me, clothed me, looked after me, fed me full of mental good things. I've got nothing bad to say. They've helped me through the lot with my addictions and everything else. The Crew have been fantastic. And look, now I've got a gut, clothes on my back. Good stuff.
I just think The Crew is fantastic. The people that they help are amazing. The stories of the people that they help are just mind-blowing. And I get so much out of it. I've always lived in a little bubble and I didn't ever understand what some people went through and what their life was. And this has been a real eye-opener for me. I know that we're doing good for the people that we're helping and it's just great. It's really great.
Awesome community base, and there is absolutely no judgment coming into them, and they just welcome everybody with open arms. And I've made friends through The Crew, and I've got in touch with other services that have helped, if you like, and it's been good for my children too. They're all so welcoming and just loving towards not just myself but the kids as well. I miss it if I don't have that interaction, you know, so I think it's a good thing. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing that what the work that The Crew is doing, and you can imagine all the other work that Fusion and Pregnancy Problem House is also doing. And we have a great opportunity now to come alongside these organizations and to jump in and to really put our actions to our words. And what we're asking from everyone, similar to last week, is we're asking for 100% participation. We are asking every single person here today or tuning online, we would love for every single person to participate in one of our serving opportunities. And the first option that we have is Pregnancy Problem House, and it's happening actually on Saturday, the 10th of October. And the service opportunity is what we're calling baby bundle packing. So it's spending an afternoon at their Langford location, kind of packing some baby clothes and packing them into what they call baby bundles. And also there's going to be a chance to wrap some gifts for Christmas for kids and for children who maybe would never receive a gift around that time. So that's one of the opportunities happening on the 10th of October. The other opportunity we have to serve is with The Crew. So The Crew is expanding. They need more space. And so there's a moving day happening on the 17th of October. And basically is a chance for us to kind of go there and help them with that move. So that'll be that service opportunity. And the third service opportunity is the Canning River Regional Park Cleanup Day. And it'll be at the Canning River, of course, and there'll be a chance to kind of help clean it up weeding and replanting and a few things around here. Again, an awesome opportunity for small groups and for people of all ages, great for families as well. So that's kind of the opportunities we have. Unfortunately, Fusion doesn't have a specific serving opportunity this year, mainly because of the COVID restrictions and that kind of stuff. But if you are really passionate about helping teens and that kind of youth and that age of life, they do have opportunities, some long-term opportunities. So I would love for you to go chat to the Be Rich team out in the foyer after the gathering to find out a little bit more information about this. But can I just say that there's some amazing things. And there's 3 out of the 4 weeks in October, 3 of the 4 Saturdays. So what we're kind of asking you to do is to have a real think, have a real pray about this and jump into one of these options. And when you do so, when you do decide to serve, this is how you do it. You just go to therocks.info, and when you go to therocks.info, there will be the very top a tab that says Be Rich. And when you click on that tab, it'll have this big button that says serve. And once you click that button, it will take you to berich.org. And when you get to this page, one thing you really have to make sure is that you select the correct location, the correct church at the top right. So find the Rocks Church. If you don't, you might be serving in Atlanta, Georgia, which is going to be extra tricky around this time of year. But so make sure it's the Rocks. And once you do that, click on serve. You scroll down, click on serve, and that will take you to this next page, which says register to serve. You can click either of those buttons. That's cool. Once you click that, it will take you to the serving opportunities. And then you kind of just follow the prompts from this point. If you wanted to find out a little bit more information about the exact service project, there's a little plus button there that will give you more details on that. But it has the times and the exact project and who it is and how many spots are available as well. So just please note that there are limited spots available, especially with COVID restrictions. So make sure you get in quick and you do that as soon as possible. But once you find the serving opportunity that you want to do, just click register. And that'll be easy as that. And someone will follow up with you in the weeks to come about just reminding you and what you need to bring, if you need to bring anything and all that kind of stuff. What we're asking is for everyone to plan now and to sign up at any time. So we really want you to really have a think, have a pray about this now. And you can sign up anytime, of course, before the actual serving opportunity. But can I just say, this is a great chance for small groups. This is a great chance for your family, for your neighbors, for your friends, for your coworkers. People who serve for Be Rich don't have to even know what the Rocks is. They don't have to attend the Rocks. They don't even have to have heard of it before. Anybody can serve for these opportunities. So I would just encourage you to pray about it, consider it, invite someone along as well. Don't just come by yourself, but there's going to be so many people doing this together. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. Well, that's it for me this morning. If you have any questions about anything to do with Be Rich, we do have an amazing team out in the foyer. They'll be wearing kind of like balloons on their wrists that are kind of floating up, so they're really hard to miss. Just make sure you go and have a chat with them. They'd love to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.